Last week I preached about why we have hope. And I hope you got hope last week. But I preached about the reason we can have hope in the darkest of circumstances. But it can't stop there. It can't. There's too much at stake. There's too many people just dragging themselves through life with no hope. We're called. We are called as the people of God to share the hope that we've been given. I want you to hear me clearly. Sharing hope is not just for the super spiritual. Hear me. Sharing hope is not just for the preachers. Sharing hope is not just for the people that you see on the platform on Sunday. Sharing hope is not just for our Sunday school teachers or our children's church workers that are doing an awesome job right now, even as we're worshiping. Sharing hope's not just standing at the door at the church and greeting people. As awesome as that is, and I thank those people. Sharing hope is for everybody that has hope. Let me say that again. Sharing hope is a requirement by God for everyone who has hope. If you have hope, you are expected by our Father to share it. Here's the way He says it. Freely you have received. What? To whom much has been given. That includes hope. If it don't include anything else, it includes hope. As for me, I'm tired of hearing suicide stories. I understand sometimes it's more than just hopelessness. Sometimes there's chemical issues and there's all kinds of other issues. I get that. But I'm going to tell you something. There will be a lot fewer suicide stories if God's people were faithful to share the hope that anchors their soul. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I want to inspire you that you can share hope effectively. You can. I don't care how verbal you are. I don't care how trained or studied or talented you are. You can give other people hope. You can. And you must. And I must. You know, this is not just meant to be an inspiring message. This is meant to be a call to action. And before you leave here, I'm going to challenge you to act on what I'm preaching. Because, you know, even though you don't see it up there, our logo, it says it's an LC. And you ever notice it's got ripples going out from it? When you receive the drop from heaven, it should radiate out. When you've received hope, it should radiate out around your life. When you've received love, it should radiate out around your life into the circles of acquaintance that you rub shoulders with. That's the expectation. That's the expectation of a healthy believer. And you know what? We're after healthy believers. We're not just after, as they said several times today, checking a box. We are after people growing in Christ-likeness and sharing the hope we've been blessed with. Amen. And there's a lot of ways to do that. We'll talk about that, but moving forward. There was a group of research scientists decided they were going to test some lab rats. They put them in a vat of water with no way to get out. They just had to swim in a totally dark room. The rats swam for 6 hours before they gave up and drowned. They put a small light in the room and put another set of rats in the vat, and they swam for 17 hours before they gave up. I felt like a rat before. I remember I've done some caving, and I know what it's like to be deep down in a cave and my light go out. Hey, let me tell you something. Light is hope. Yes. And when you're in the middle of a darkness and you're in the middle of a bad situation, light is hope. And for me and my brother-in-law down deep in a cave, he dropped his light, broke it. We had one light between us and mine was falling apart. And we were literally holding that thing together, holding the face on the and walking very carefully. Because that light was our hope. It was nobody knew where we were. We broke all the rules. We didn't tell anybody. But that light was our hope. It reminds me of a story in the scriptures when Jesus was about to come on the scene. For 400 years, there had been spiritual darkness in the people of God. 400 years without a prophetic voice, without a spiritual leader that would rise up among God's people, until the first cousin of Jesus came on the scene, and his name was John the Baptist. And I want you to hear what John the Apostle says about John the Baptist. I'm just going to read a couple of verses from John chapter 1. But after it describes the Word that was with God and the Word was God, it comes down to this verse in verse 4. In Him was life, talking about Jesus. And that life was the what? The light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all might believe. John was a light shining into 400 years of darkness, and he was saying, there is hope. Hope is upon us. God is about to change the whole direction of this thing, and your hope is about to show up. Repent and believe that God is a God who will keep His promise of thousands of years to bring a Messiah to you, to bring a Savior, to deliver you from darkness, which is the equivalent of hopelessness. You come forward to Matthew chapter 5, and Jesus is on the scene now, and He's preaching and healing and raising the dead and proclaiming the kingdom of God. And here's what He says about you and me. Not just John the Baptist. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light. Say it. Look at somebody and say, you are the light. Look at them. You are the light. You're the light. That's what Jesus said about us. It's what Jesus said about you, T. It's what Jesus said about you, Marquise. Jeanette, it's what Jesus said about you. He didn't just say it about the preachers. He said it about all that believe. You are the light. You know what that means? You've got hope to share. That light at the end of the tunnel is not a train coming in another direction. You're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let me summarize this and say it this way. We can and we must become hope dealers. Hope dealers. I just want you to say it with me. I am a hope dealer. I'm a hope dealer. I deal in hope. I'm dealing hope. I ain't dealing dope. I'm dealing hope. Yeah. And that's not original to me, but I used it because it'll stick. I'm a hope dealer. I'm either a good one or a bad one, but I have hope. Therefore, I have something to deal. I have something to give. I have something to show. I have something to say. I have something that the Spirit of God wants to breathe on and change people's lives around me and give them hope. So, how do we become a hope dealer? Number one, we demonstrate the hope. Got to demonstrate it. Listen. And I just give the scripture there that I just read. To lead other people to hope, listen to me, we have to live in hope. I can't deal something I'm not experiencing. I can't deal hope that I don't have. I can only deal what I've got. I can only share what I have. And if you are not living hope in your own personal life, you have very little to share with other people. I'm not saying if you can't quote the Romans Road from heart. I'm not asking if can you preach a sermon. I'm not asking any of that. What I'm really saying is this. If you've got the hope that Jesus brought in your heart and you're living in that hope and you're dealing with your own life and your own issues with the hope that Jesus brings, you have something to share. In the midst of apparent hopelessness, we've got to live in hope if we want to lead others to hope. Our family needs us to live in hope. The people that know you best and are closest to you, they need to see you. Let me say it this way. Dare try again. Because isn't that what hope really is? When things seem to run off the rails and it'd be easier just to give up and cash in on your marriage or on your children or on your loved ones. Living in hope, demonstrating hope, means that every time I get knocked down, I keep getting up because I serve a God who controls our tomorrows. So many times, demonstrating hope is not always just being giddy and flighty and, oh, life is wonderful. No, I'll tell you what hope is. It's when I dare get up again after things have hit the wall and I say, but God, I will pray again. I will serve again. I will forgive again. I will receive forgiveness again. I will try again. I mean, isn't that where really we get off track most of the time anyway? I just realized I was going to welcome all our new members into the church. We'll do it at the end of service. Sorry. Just went right in, man. So don't leave. Don't leave. Many times demonstrating hope in our lives is simply being willing to try again. Be willing to pray one more time. Be willing to serve a little more. Be willing to reach again. You know what that says is? There is hope that God will breathe on this and change the situation. Transform my marriage, transform my children, transform my family, transform things at work. There is always hope if there is Jesus. And so what that looks like in real shoe leather, like real everyday life, is just daring try again. Daring to continue to develop the capacity to love like Jesus. The early church, I'm talking about the first 300 years, even the Roman historians were dismayed at the kind of love and kindness and service that believers showed even the pagans that were killing them and hating them. There are, and I tried to find them. I've seen them before, but I didn't find the exact quote. But basically they said, they love our sick people better than we do. A plague went through Europe in the 200s at some point, and Christians were picking up people dying of the plague off the streets and bringing them in because their own families threw them out for fear they would die. Christians were coming along and picking them up, taking them into their homes and feeding them and loving them and ministering to them because of what Jesus had done in their lives. And even the pagans who despised them were challenged by how the early believers lived out their hope. The first place we need to practice sharing hope, of course, is our home and our family. Your family can be blessed. In spite of the government, in spite of whatever happens in our schools, in spite of the social media, in spite of the culture, your family can be blessed if you walk in hope in Jesus. Psalm says this, Psalm 146, 5. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Blessed means whole. Blessed means full. Blessed means fully developed, nothing broken, nothing missing, nothing dysfunctional. That's blessed. And the psalmist is saying, we can all be blessed as we put our hope in the Lord. A guy that was a pastor, his name is Scott Bradford, he tells a story about a young lady in his congregation. She was 18 years old. She had a tragic car accident, injury to the head. It rendered her incapable of walking or talking for a while. But she went to rehab and she worked hard and she got to the place where she was beginning to regain function with her voice, her ability to communicate and to walk. And she heard that a 16-year-old girl had a similar accident with similar injuries and similar symptoms and was now brought in to the rehab, except this girl was making no progress. There was no walking, there was no talking, there was no progress at all. And she asked her mother if she would wheel her down to this girl's room. And they got the parents' permission and they wheeled her up to the bed. And Heidi is the one that I'm talking about. They wheeled up to the other girl's bed. Ashley was her name. And she said to Ashley, as she, with all of her might, pushed herself up to a standing position from that wheelchair, she said to Ashley, when I came in here, I wasn't walking or talking either. Heidi planted a seed of hope in Ashley's heart, and before long, Heidi and Ashley were making laps around the hallway together. What'd Heidi do? She didn't preach a sermon. She demonstrated hope. She demonstrated hope. And it enabled Ashley to have hope in her heart. She saw it demonstrated, and it gave her hope that she could regain function as well. The second thing is this. We need to declare and define hope. You know the scripture, 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. It's not enough just to demonstrate it. I know all of you have heard the quote from I think it's Francis of Assisi, who says, at all times preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Can I tell you, it is necessary. It is necessary. You can demonstrate hope, and people never know the source. They just think you're an amazingly positive person. when in reality, the root and the foundation of your hope is that Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave, and He's coming back. And He promised to get involved in my life. He promised to get to intervene and to invest and to get involved in my stuff every day. He made that promise. I'm not making that promise for Him. We have to be willing to prepare, to articulate our story of experience and hope in Jesus. The most powerful tool you and I have is our testimony. The most powerful tool we have is not mastering all of the exact right scriptures so we can corner people in to saying, okay, Jesus, it's true. That's not the most powerful thing you can do. The most powerful thing you and I can do is to learn to share our story. If you have hope in Jesus, you have something to say. And they need to know your hope is not in the economy, and your hope is not in a politician, and your hope is not in medical doctors, and your hope is not in other people. Your hope is in Jesus. And God help us to go a step beyond demonstrating. Demonstrating is a necessary foundation. But God forbid that we just stop at demonstrating. You say, I don't know how to do that, Pastor. Have you ever asked anybody to help you? This is too important to just go, well, I don't feel comfortable with that, so I get a pass. No, you don't. Well, that's not my personality. You still don't get a pass. Here's the deal. People are dying for what I've got. I better find a way. And the good news is the Holy Spirit is very willing to show me the way. He is very willing to empower me, and that's my last point. But He's very willing to give me opportunity, to alert me to the opportunity, and even put words in my mouth. He is very willing to do this because He aches for those that are hopeless. I'm going to tell you, I referred to this before, I'm going to refer to it again. Tim was in a prison just a few weeks ago. If anybody you could say are hopeless, those guys, quote unquote, have every right to be hopeless. Their hope was not in somebody coming in there as a lawyer. Their hope was in Jesus. So that's their hope. And they know it. Be prepared. That means train to articulate your story of hope. Train to explain the foundation, which is the gospel. If you don't understand what the gospel really is, I explained it during communion. The gospel is that we're all sinners and we're cut off from the life and the love and the goodness and the greatness and the glory of God by our sin. And we are hopeless to fix ourselves. And we are eternally cut off from God and everything good, unless somebody steps into the gap and pays the price and bridges the gap and connects us with God by us putting our faith in that. That's the gospel. You say, well, I can't say it like that. It's okay. Find a way. Everybody in here, as far as I can see, is adults. Find a way. Look it up online. The ABCs of the gospel. Find a way to articulate the hope of the gospel, because the gospel of Jesus is our hope. We're going to be giving food away here in just a couple of weeks. A week from Saturday, the 8th, we're going to be giving food away at the tech school. We're going to give a tractor trailer load of food away and feed 400 families for a week. Guess what? That food is not their hope. That food is not their hope. The gospel is their hope. To share the gospel is to share hope. Well, I don't like the graphics on that, and I did that, but anyway. To share the gospel is to share hope. We have to continue reaching, praying, serving, sharing to those outside hope. When hell is the most horrible destiny, and heaven is the most ultimate prize in existence, we dare not ever stop sharing hope. Amen. Some of you are afraid to say amen because it might require something of you. You need to say amen anyway. I'm not looking for approval. I'm looking for agreement. And that's what amen is. It's agreement. If the eternal destiny of the people around us doesn't motivate us, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to break our heart. Because I'm going to tell you this. If you want to be intimate with Jesus, you got to care about the things He cares about. And guess what He cares about? The lost. I'm not saying He don't care about the saved, but He's the one that leaves the 99, remember? He's the one that leaves the 99. He's the one that goes searching after the one that is lost in darkness and hopelessness. And if I'm gonna be close to Jesus, I must learn to embrace His heart for the hopeless. I must. I've said this several times, I'm going to say it one more time. Please don't put this all in the category of the preacher. This is all of us. This is all of us. I want to read a little poem to you, I guess you'd call it. I found this the other day, and I think it's powerful. It says, Jesus. We just sang, speak the name of Jesus. Jesus, it's a little name, a small word. Say this little name in public, however, in a way other than an obscenity, and stand back and watch the fireworks. This little name is like a tiny detonator that triggers a nuclear warhead. You can say God and you won't get a squeak. You can say our Father, Mother in heaven and few will flinch. You can say Great Spirit and people will nod in approval. You can say Allah and you will be deemed tolerant. But say Jesus and just wait for the sonic boom. Articles will appear in the paper. Reprimands will be posted from the Home Office. Suits will be threatened by the Civil Liberties Union. So don't say Jesus. Jesus is divisive, and now is the time for unity. Jesus is an extremist, and that must mean right wing. Jesus is exclusive, so His name amounts to hate speech. Keep His name to yourself. Cloister it in your church. Lock it in your prayer closet. Close it between the covers of your Bible. But for God's sake, don't voice it in the public square. It's immodest. It's immoral. It's unloving. Only one problem. Jesus is God. Only one problem. Jesus alone brings salvation. Only one problem. All other gods are nothing. So speak His name aloud. Shout it from the mountain. Whisper it in the dark. Write it in the sky. That's not hate. That is hope. Can I tell you something? We will not thrive as individual believers or as a church in the current environment unless we're willing to speak up. It's time to find our courage, guys. It's time to find our courage. It's time to be willing to say the name even when we know there may be pushback, we better learn to do that. It's that important. And sometimes the only way you're going to define and declare hope to the lost and hopeless people around you is for them to see you speak the name even with the pushback. And they will, you know what you'll do? You'll establish credibility that you really believe it if you're willing to suffer to say it. Man, I'm running out of time. No one has an exemption from sharing hope. If you see a need, meet it in Jesus' name. Risk. Our hope frees us to risk beyond our comfort zone, creating opportunities to share and serve, even at a price. Risk. Risk. Sometimes it takes sacrifice to really share hope. But it does, as I said, bring credibility and resources to our claims and efforts. We have to learn to create opportunities to plant seeds of hope in our community. We need to get involved in the problem solving of our community as a church and as individuals. The final third thing is this. We need to dynamize the hope. All I mean is we need the Holy Spirit to empower the expression of our hope. Paul said, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope." How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Sorry, it's too small for some of you, I guess. By the power of the Holy Spirit. None of us can effectively share hope without the enablement of the Holy Spirit. People can come away admiring your courage. They can come away admiring your commitment to your faith. They can come away with all of that and still not be drawn to the hope that is in Jesus. We must pray for, look for, expect, walk in the power of the Holy Spirit if we really want to bring hope to hopeless people around us. They don't need our intelligence. They don't need our talent. They don't need our money. What they really need is a work of the Holy Spirit that makes it make sense to their soul, and they're able to embrace the hope that we've embraced. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. Some of you may be getting tired of me talking about our need for signs and wonders and healings and miraculous works of God among us. But all through the New Testament, the powerful works of God among and through His people gave a platform for the people of the world to hear the message of hope. It doesn't mean they had to believe if they saw a miracle. What it meant was they were willing to listen many times after they saw the demonstration of God's power through His people. People need to have the hope I preached about last week, and part of that hope is He gets involved right now. Yes? Is that not what brings many of you back here every week? There's a hope in your heart. This may be the week. This may be when God completes that work in my life or my loved one or in my body. Yes? The Holy Spirit wants to breathe hope through us. We can demonstrate it. We can declare and define it according to the commands of Jesus and the apostles. But Only the breath of the Holy Spirit will change a life from darkness to light. That's why Jesus said, I am the light. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the hope of the world. The Spirit brings boldness to stand up and speak the hope. The Spirit brings the gift of faith to dare pray for the sick at work. The gifts and the works of the Spirit produce love in us and courage. The Spirit directs our steps and alerts us to opportunities. The Spirit whispers to our heart and mind, that person needs what you have. The Spirit empowers and equips. Will we practice the ways of the Spirit at home, here, in small groups like life groups and others, classes, and even in outreach? Will we cry out that the Spirit of God would empower us and that He would generate hope through us? Even at a food giveaway, people can be saved. You're meeting a physical need, but what you're doing is setting up an opportunity to share about their ultimate need. A school teacher was assigned to visit children in a large city hospital to help them stay updated on their assignments, if possible. And she received a routine call requesting that she go to a particular child. And she was told by the child's teacher, "We're studying nouns and verbs, adverbs now. I'd be grateful if you could help them help this young boy with his homework so he doesn't fall behind." But when the teacher got there, she realized he was in the burn unit. He was burned all over his body, and he was hovering between life and death. And she started to back out, and she thought, I can't just walk away. And she went in and saw that he was bandaged and so badly messed up. He didn't even respond verbally to her. But she began going through his lessons on nouns and adverbs. He never responded. And she walked out the door, totally destroyed over the condition of this boy. When she walked in the hospital the next day, the nurse met her at the door and said, "What did you do yesterday?" And she was immediately alarmed. She thought, "I didn't do anything. I just talked to him. I didn't touch him. He didn't even respond." And she said, No. You don't understand. He made a dramatic turnaround since yesterday. We didn't know we were going to lose him or not. But now he is fighting to survive." She walked in there and said, What happened?" He said, "When you came in here and started teaching me," he said, "they don't teach a boy that's dying nouns and adverbs. So I figure I was going to make it." Here's what I want you to do. I told you this is not just inspire you. This is a desperate plea to begin being a hope dealer. I've got ways for you to do it. I know I do this every now and then. I'm going to do it again today because it's just easy. Take an offering envelope. I'm going to give you several things, practical ways, cooperating with this church as a body, you can start dealing hope. The first one is this. You may not know this. Adam, raise your hand. Adam is a coach and a teacher at Asbury High School. Less than a month ago, 17 athletes gave their heart to Jesus. Can you give God a hand? It's in His heart to get them study Bibles and get them for the people that help Him. He's the FCA guy there. Here's one way you can start dealing hope. Put an offering in that box out there in the middle of the foyer and put FCA Bibles on it. You can be a part of dealing hope. Here's another one. Write on your envelope, food giveaway. And just show up on October 8th at 7:30 at the tech school up on the mountain. All you got to do is do what you're told. Just bag food up and hand it. Bag food up and hand it. And some people will be assigned to go to each car and offer to pray with them. We're going to touch 400 families that Saturday. 400 families. And it doesn't take a theology degree to be part of sharing hope. Those are two things you can do. But here's something you can do all on your own. Find a need and meet it and tell them you're meeting it for the sake of Jesus. Just find a need and meet it. Tommy Barnett, pastor of one of the largest Assembly of God churches in the country, 10,000 plus, biggest sanctuary I've ever been in. Somebody asked him what his secret was, and he said, it's easy. Everybody believes God can do it. I believe He can do it through me. All I'm really asking you to do is just dare believe today God can deal hope through you. And dare believe He will. If you'll be awake and listening and asking for the opportunity, He will bring you an opportunity. He will. Why? Because He aches for the lost and the hopeless. It's not His will that any should perish. Any. But that all should come to repentance. That's His will. About a month ago, maybe 5 weeks ago, I challenged you. We were talking about loving God by loving people. Anybody remember that? These are the 52 people that said, I'm going to love these people. I'm going to take one step out of my comfort zone to love a person inside the church and a person outside. Not only have I not forgot, neither has God. And if you forgot, consider this the Holy Spirit's reminder. He wants you to deal hope to these people. That's what He wants you to do. Deal hope to them. Find a way, pray for a way, look for a way, deal hope. It may look like keeping somebody's kids. It may look like bringing them a meal. It may look like offering to pray for their sickness. It may just look like telling your story. Why you show up here every Sunday? Why? It's not to get your religious duty done. It's because you got hope in Jesus. Yes. Yes. Raise your hand if that's you. I come here because I have hope in Jesus. I'm just going to ask you to write something on an envelope. I want you to look at the person beside you one more time and just say, I'm a hope dealer. Just tell them, I'm a hope dealer. I'm a hope dealer. I am a hope dealer. And I will deal hope. I will share hope. I will demonstrate. I will declare and define my hope to people. I will ask for the dynamic of the Holy Spirit to energize my hope. If that's you, I just want you to stand to your feet, would you? Get you an envelope. I'm going to ask you to come, lay it on the communion table. If you put something down there, you can give towards the food giveaway too. If you can't make it that day, you can put food giveaway and put an offering in that too. But this is not about money. This is about action. Father, we want to demonstrate hope by our lives, by daring try again, by daring pray again, by daring serve again, by daring forgive again. We want to be demonstrations of your hope. We want to be learned and trained to define and declare our hope. Help us learn to tell our story. Help us learn to tell the gospel. And finally, Lord, we ask you, Holy Spirit, empower us. Empower us, God, to share hope through the demonstration of your power and grace and love. Guide our every step. Alert us. Use us for your glory to bring light in the darkness so that people won't stop swimming.
Again, thank you for joining us for the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to respond to the message or reach out to us for any reason, just hit the response link in the comments below. Have a blessed day.